Hi there. This is a sojourner coming to you from the World Hub, United States of America. We're certainly happy to have you listening. We hope that this message that we bring will bring you some joy, some knowledge, some understanding, some comfort. We want to welcome those of you in Germany. We know we have many people in Germany and Belgium and Scotland and the whole of the UK, Ireland, as well as in Asia and Australia, New Zealand, and of course our newest location where we're establishing one of our churches is in Honolulu, Hawaii. So we're certainly glad that you're here, and as I said, we hope that you will get a real blessing from today's message. We're going to be talking about continuing. So before we get into that, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you and we worship you, and we thank you that we can come to your throne boldly, thanking you and praising you for all that you have done, are doing, and will do for us in each day. We praise you and worship you for it, and we ask that your spirit of discernment and that your spirit of understanding, that your spirit of grace and all that is yours would be brought out in this message to the hearers, that each would hear what they need to hear, that you would quicken it to their ears. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today's scripture is found in Ephesians 4, verses 22 through 32. And of course, as you know, I'm reading from the NIV to allow English speakers around the world equal understanding of the words used. So starting in Ephesians 4, verse 22, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no more, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, for whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Let the Lord really bring to our understanding the meaning of those words. The Apostle Paul goes to great lengths to cover the details of the spiritual life of a believer in his whole letter to the Ephesians. He covers a matter and then covers it again, but from a slightly different angle or facet. He wants to be certain they understand each area covered as he leads them into the deeper parts of coming into the victorious life in Christ. You know, we must do that very thing. We must allow our minds to be renewed in our thinking. We must continue on as we began in Christ. If you've not begun in Christ, as you listen, I think you will find that there are good reasons to begin in Christ, to accept Him as your Lord and Savior. One of the things that we probably want to talk about here now is futile thinking. It is in chapter 4, verse 17 of this letter to the Ephesians that Paul urges Ephesians to live no longer as the Gentiles. Now, what he's meaning here by Gentiles is he's meaning
unbelievers.
He says, no longer as Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. Paul even goes so far as to say he insists on it in the Lord. How many people today would be upset at hearing someone in ministry say they insist on anything? But you see, God put leadership there for a purpose, to develop believers into all that they could be. But if Paul were with us today, as he is in this letter, many who claim to be Christians would see him as politically incorrect. You know, it is in verse 18 that he goes even farther to explain why there are those who are darkened in their understanding and separated from God by two things. One, ignorance. And two, their hearts. He explains that as a natural consequence of these two ingredients, people lose all sensitivity to the correct spiritual relationship with God and give themselves over to things which are ungodly. Yes, it is true. A loving God does not desire that anyone perish in eternal hell. Let me repeat that again. Yes, it is true. A loving God does not desire that anyone perish in an eternal hell. But some people will give themselves over to it using the very free will that the loving Creator gave them, spiraling ever downward and ignorant and hard-hearted plunge into debauchery and destruction. How sad that is. How very sad. But Paul, you see, wants everybody not only to come to Christ, but to come to know Christ. Paul lets the Ephesians know they came to know Christ Jesus by being taught. They heard the word, you see. They had open, soft hearts, yearning to cure their ignorance by learning the truths of Jesus. Learning to cure their ignorance by learning truths. You see, by learning the truths of Jesus. They then accepted the truth, and in accepting that, they did what? They put out of their thoughts and changed their behaviors, the old self and their manner of thinking. Their minds were renewed. And the old way of thinking had led to their practice of deceitful desires, which had corrupted them. My friends, the natural desires that come in a fallen world. Now, when I say natural desires, I'm not talking about the ones that God gave people. I'm talking about the ones that were corrupted clear back in the garden with Adam and Eve. And corruption entered in. And the adversary, Satan, has done everything he can to steal, to kill, and destroy every living human being on the planet in any way he can. That's his desire. That is the only reason he comes into our presence, is to steal from us, to kill us, and to destroy us. Now, why do I not say kill last? Because kill is only the body, but destruction, my friends, destruction is eternal. We will either spend eternity with God, or we will spend eternity with Satan. And the place prepared for Satan and his angels was never meant for man. That just wasn't in God's thinking. It wasn't ever God's desire. But man can choose it because a loving God gave us the free will to do things that were not even best for us. But he loved us enough to do that. But he will accept us into his loving arms. And in Christ, my friend, you would have a renewed relationship with God like that of Adam and Eve in the garden. That you can walk with him and talk with him, and he will direct you, and your life can be so much different. If you're floundering and struggling, this is an important thing. You see, when we come to Christ, we have to put on a new self. We must cure our ignorances by being willing to be taught. They, in fact, the Ephesians, had put on a new self as a result of understanding the new way of thinking, the renewed mind. You know, I've often said to people, when they say, "Oh, you believers are brainwashed," I say to them, you know, everybody's brain will be washed in some fashion. I choose mine to be washed by Christ. I choose mine to be washed by the Creator, not by a deceiver, not by one who comes only to steal from me, to kill me, and to destroy me. You know, then this new way of thinking is so important, and Paul then lists some of the old ways of thinking and doing in verses 25 through 32, which must be dealt with and removed by basically saying the principle of love your neighbor as yourself. I don't know if you realize it or not, but most laws would not have to be written if people simply loved their neighbor as themselves. If they did unto others as they would have others do to them, there would be a tremendous difference, my friends, in all aspects of life around us. It is so important to put on that new self. Let's take a look at some of the things that he said in verses 25 through 32 here. These are some of the things that Paul enumerated there. He said, don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. He said, do not give the devil a foothold. Steal no longer, but work. That you could have something to share with those in need. He says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Only what is helpful for building others up. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Get rid of all bitterness. Get rid of all rage. Rid of anger. Rid of brawling. Rid of slander. Along with every form of malice. And then he says, be kind and compassionate to one another. Forgiving one another. Just as God in Christ, forgave us. So very important. So we have to be willing to be taught to cure the ignorances, to change our old way of thinking, the way we have been brainwashed by the world. And make no mistake about it, my friends, the world will brainwash you every day to its system. The world will even continue to do things that are not productive and would rather do those than submit to God in many ways. But the people of God have understood. They've heard the message. And they understand what they must do in relationship to God through Christ Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And it's only through Him, He told us, that we can come to the Father. So then He talks about anger and talk. Anger and talk are so important. You see, what we say is very important because we're made in the image of God and He created everything by speaking it into existence. We must be careful what we speak. So the apostle then speaks of anger and in that regard, what is permissible and what is not. When angry, do not step over into sin and don't let anger last more than a day. This will keep, you see, the devil from getting a real stronghold, a real foothold that he warned about through anger. Notice he didn't say that we could not be angry about something. There is a righteous anger. Jesus showed a righteous anger when he went into the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers, which really angered the people in the temple because they had a good thing going there. And It was not that there was money going on in there that bothered him. It was the way it was being done that bothered him. So you see, when Paul talks about these behaviors, it's so important that we understand what he's saying. How many laws, as I said before, would never even have to be written if we all did to somebody else what we would want somebody else to do to us. Because laws are written so that one person doesn't take advantage of another, one person doesn't brutalize another, one person isn't thoughtless toward another, or actually damaging toward another person. How many people, we look at people who damage themselves as having some real emotional problems. So we need to be doing unto others what we would want them to do to us. It is from Christ that those submitted will understand the need to forgive because they have received forgiveness. My friends, I've got to tell you something. Forgiveness is extremely important. I mean extremely important for every person to understand. Because if God is willing to forgive us, and if we come to Christ, we are forgiven, then how can we not forgive others? Once we have received and understood, then we would have to continue in that grace, not just to receive it from God, but to give to others the grace because of so much grace that has been given to us. Oh, that is so very, very important. It is so very important to keep conflict to a minimum and to show all people love and care and concern. Now, that doesn't mean that sometimes that doesn't require some correction. That doesn't require speaking into someone's life a little bit. Certainly, can you imagine what it would be like for children if their parents never spoke into their life and they just let them run around willy-nilly doing anything they wanted to? How would you ever pass along any kind of a constructive, proper culture? Well, you couldn't do it. It just wouldn't happen. So it is very, very important that we understand this law of love that Christ laid down and that we continue in it. We continue in the grace that He's given us. You know, anybody can do a one-event thing, but continuing something day in, day out, hour in, hour out, year in, year out, month in, month out, moment after moment to walk in that, to continue in what we've been called to in Christ, or what you are perhaps now being called to in Christ as you've heard these words. If you've never accepted Christ, let me invite you to do so. You say, well, what do I have to do? Just pray this prayer with me. Go ahead, pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I'm sorry for my sin. I understand that I have missed the mark, that I have not been done or even related to you in the way that you've desired. But not only am I sorry for it, but I repent by changing my ways. I will get into your word. I will learn of Christ. I want Christ to come into me. I want His Holy Spirit in me. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer with me, my friends, you're in. You're a part of the kingdom of the blessing. You're now brought in by what Christ did on the cross. Oh, this is a beautiful thing. And I want you to write it down. I want you to write down when this happened, the day and the hour that this happened with you. If you have a Bible, get your Bible and write it just inside your Bible someplace. So if the enemy comes to you in a few hours or a few days and says, oh, nothing really happened, that really didn't happen with you, you open up to there and say, oh, yes, it did, look there. There's where I heard the voice of God, that still small voice of God, and I came and I gave myself. I gave myself to God in Christ Jesus. Now, if you've done that before and you've sort of gotten cool, your first love has sort of gone into dying embers, but you realize, oh, this is so true. I must change. I must go back to where I was at the beginning of my walk with Christ. You can do that, my friend. Just go to the throne and repent of it. And by repent means that you're not just sorry, but you turn around, you change your ways, you get back into step with the Word. That is also very important. If you need some help and you want to know more about God's kingdom, about the Lord, feel free to contact me The Sojourner at sojournershub.org. Just send me an email. The Sojourner, all one word, at sojournershub.org. Again, sojournershub, all one word, .org. I'll be glad to work with you. I'll be glad to send you information, be glad to minister with you any way we can. If we have a fellowship near you, we'll be glad to welcome you there so that people can love you and work with you. And we're not very formal sometimes in our meetings because we meet in homes. But while we're not formal, don't let that fool you into thinking there's nothing really happening there, because there is. As a matter of fact, we often have people actually phone in during our meetings when they realize we're meeting and ask us to pray for some important matter in their life. And we're happy to do that. So as I say, if there's anything that I can do, or any of our people can do, to be of a help to you, just contact me at sojournershub.org. Go to our site. You'll see links there to email me. Go to our site, look around. We have a number of teachings. You can listen to many other messages just like this, and begin to learn. But we'll be glad to help you in any way that we can. So now, in bringing this session to a close, I see that it's about time to do that. Let me pray this blessing on you. And then with that, we'll close until the next time. So the blessings of our Lord Jesus Christ on you, and all that is yours by blood, adoption, or assignment, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.